God's word comes to us from Romans chapter 3. We read earlier from Romans chapter 1 about God's wrath against unrighteousness, then Romans chapter 5, that we have peace with God. Between that, of course, is Romans chapter 3, how that comes about. How is it that we are made to have peace with God? We're going to begin our reading at verse 19 and then read through verse 26 of Romans chapter 3. Beginning at verse 19, what we hear now is God's word. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. This righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 80 in the back section. Page 80, this is the Belgic Confession of Faith. This morning we read Article 23. Article 23 is entitled, Wherein Our Justification Before God Consists. Article 23 from page 80. We believe that our salvation consists in the remission of our sins for Jesus Christ's sake, and that therein our righteousness before God is implied, as David and Paul teach us, declaring this to be the blessedness of man, that God imputes righteousness to him apart from works. And the same apostle says that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And therefore we always hold fast this foundation, ascribing all glory to God, humbling ourselves before Him, and acknowledging ourselves to be such as we really are, without presuming to trust in anything in ourselves or in any merit of ours, relying and resting upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone, which becomes ours when we believe in Him. This is sufficient to cover all our iniquities and to give us confidence in approaching to God, freeing the conscience of fear, terror, and dread, without following the example of our first father, Adam, who, trembling, attempted to cover himself with fig leaves. And verily, if we should appear before God, relying on ourselves or on any other creature, though ever so little, we should, alas, be consumed. And therefore, everyone must pray with David, O Jehovah, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. This is our confession of faith. Well, we continue this morning to look at the Word of God as it highlights the beauty of our salvation. We are using the Belgic Confession as the guide for this series of sermons. We're in that section of the Confession that deals directly with salvation, with the heart of the gospel. We have talked about the fact that our salvation is made by atonement, an atonement that was sacrificial, an atonement that was substitutionary. We talked last time about the fact that it is by faith this is received, not by works that we have done, but by faith. And Abraham was used as an example of that. And David bears witness to that as well. And I've been saying that these things are important. We have to know them and understand them. Well, today we come to justification. And once again, I'm going to say, this is important. We really have to understand this. I feel a little bit like my seminary professors. Maybe you students have professors this way as well. You go into their class and they give you a reading assignment and they say, now this is really important. You have to get it. In the next class period, you come back and they say, read this because this is really important. You have to get it. And every class, they say, this is really important. You have to get it. Well, this is really important. You have to get it. We're talking about justification, the heart of the gospel, the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. We can be in error on a number of things, but on this, we cannot. We must understand the biblical doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It was this doctrine that was one of the reasons for the Reformation. One of the reasons of why we exist as Reformed churches. John Calvin wrote a brief treatise where he gave a defense for why the Reformation took place. And John Calvin gave two reasons for why the Reformation needed to happen. The second reason, he said, was a proper understanding of the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That was one of the two reasons for the Reformation. The first reason, he said, was for the proper worship of God. That's perhaps the topic for another sermon, another time. Two reasons for the Reformation. The second being a proper understanding of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So today we're going to talk about justification as it's shown to us here beautifully from Romans chapter 3. And I'm going to use some words that probably we don't use very often. Words like forensic, words like alien righteousness, words like imputation. Why is it important to know words like these? Because we have to know the truth of the doctrine we confess. This is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. It is more than just some nebulous belief about me and Jesus. But there's content to the faith. There's deep truth in the faith, and God has chosen to reveal it to us. And so it's important for us then to be clear about what we mean when we say we are justified by the work of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of lack of clarity today. Our last synod of the United Reformed Churches dealt with this issue of justification, particularly because there were some writings that were muddying the waters, that were unclear with regard to the nature of justification. So it is an issue that is still with the churches today. Being clear is what we mean when we say we are justified by Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing we notice from our text this morning is that our justification does not come by law. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. We are not justified by what we do. We are not justified by keeping the law. Rather, he says, through the law comes a knowledge of sin. Now, we know that God's law has several uses for us in the church. One of those uses is that it points out our thankful response to God for salvation. We highlight that use again and again. That's the use spoken about in the Heidelberg Catechism. But also the law has the use of pointing out our sin, showing us where we have fallen short. We read the law Lord's Day after Lord's Day after Lord's Day as a standard as well. Because you see, it's so easy for us to compare ourselves to others around us. And say, you know, I'm really doing pretty well. Oh, I don't talk like that person. I don't do the things that person does. I'm really doing okay. When I compare myself to them, I look pretty good. But others are not the standard. God's holy law is the standard. God's perfect, righteous law is the standard against which we measure ourselves. And when we do that, we see how we have fallen short. Not only the law in its narrow reading in Exodus or Deuteronomy, but the law in its expanded reading in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, you have heard it said, don't murder. I say, if you think badly about someone, you've already murdered them. That expanded law shows us we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is not through law that we will be justified. Rather, through the law comes a knowledge of our sin. We are simply unable to do what is necessary. You know, it would be one thing if we were fallen in sin, but there was a way if we did these 12 easy steps, we could get out of it. That'd be one thing. But there are no 12 easy steps. Not only are we fallen in sin, but we are unable to do anything about it. Incapable of saving ourselves. That's the desperate condition we find ourselves in. Not through works of the law. Not through what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do gives me peace with God. Nothing. I am simply unable to do what is necessary to save myself. It is not by law, but rather, as we talked about, it is by faith. It is by faith in what has been done. It is by faith that is that instrument through which we come to know the truths of justification. Nothing we do or need to do. When our kids were younger and we would sit around the table and have devotions afterwards, we would use various devotional materials, some Bible study materials, some catechism materials, and I used to try to ask trick questions when the kids were little. You know, I'd ask them, what do you need to do to be saved? And they would say, well, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. You don't have to do anything. You just have to believe in Jesus. All you have to do is have faith to be saved. And I'd say, that's right. That's right. You have to believe in Jesus. But what's the other thing you have to do? Faith in Jesus is a good answer. What's the other thing you have to do to be saved? And when they were younger, I could trick them. And they would say, oh, well, the other thing is you've got to go to church. You need to go to catechism, you need to tithe, you need to be obedient to mom and dad, and all of a sudden we have this whole laundry list of other things to do. When they got older, they said, there is no other thing. It is only by faith and by faith alone that we are saved. And then how often don't we fall into that same trap? We say, oh, we know it is by faith that we are saved. But if I ask you, what else do you have to do? We so easily make this laundry list of, oh, I have to go to church, and I have to tithe, and I have to serve as this, and I have to do that. And all of a sudden, we have all these extra works we want to add alongside of our faith. But it is not by law. It is not by what we do. There is no other thing required except for faith in Jesus Christ. Our works do not help one bit unto our salvation. Only faith in Christ alone. Well, where does that faith come from? That faith is a gift from God. Our text says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through redemption in Christ Jesus. By His grace as a gift. This faith that we have apart from law is a gift from God, and through that faith we receive the righteousness of Christ. That's the heart of justification. I'm going to suggest three words to remember what justification is about. First of all, justification is given to us freely. It is a free gift of God's grace. God is under no obligation to save us. God is under no other obligation to do anything for us. other than give us our just due, and that is condemnation. God doesn't owe us anything except His wrath. We can never say, God, you need to give this to me because I've earned it somehow. It is a free gift of God, a gracious gift of God. We talked about that last time in the fact that it is not earned by the works we have done. Abraham was an example of believing and being counted as righteous. David speaks of the same thing in Psalm 32. Our justification by God is a free gift from Him. We have not earned it. We could not earn it. Freely given by His grace. A free gift from God. Our justification is free. Our justification is forensic. Now that's a word, kids, we don't use very often. Forensic. Forensic has to do with judicial matters, has to do with a court and with law and a declaration that is made by law. Back many years ago, high schools would have forensics department. These were declarative oratory departments. Forensics has to do with law and declarations. And that's part of the nature of our justification. It is forensic. What do I mean by that? Kids, maybe you've seen a court on TV. There's a judge up front, and he hears a case given to him, and then the judge makes a declaration. And he says, you are not guilty. And he makes that declaration. That's a forensic declaration. He hears the evidence, looks at the evidence, and says, you are not guilty. That's the nature of our justification. It is a forensic judicial declaration. But the amazing thing is, it is a declaration, a forensic declaration, contrary to the facts. Now, if I go into a court, I can try to prove my innocence, I show all the documents, I give the testimony, and the judge says, you know what? I believe you. I believe you're right. I believe you are not guilty. But before God, He looks at our hearts, our lives, our actions. He sees all the sin that is there. And in spite of all that sin, He still makes a forensic justification saying, you are not guilty. How can He do that? Isn't God holy? Isn't God righteous? Isn't God just? How can He see the sin of my heart and the sin of my hands and still make that declaration that I am not guilty? That has to do with the third part of our justification. It is free, it is forensic, and it is foreign. Perhaps I should use the word alien. That's probably the more common word, but alien starts with A and foreign starts with F, and I wanted three F's in a row. Okay, free, forensic, and foreign. It is a foreign righteousness given to me, an alien righteousness. Verse 25, whom God, this sacrifice, Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. The reason God can look at my sin and still declare me not guilty is because someone else comes in from the outside and takes that sin upon himself and pays the debt for me. It's a foreign righteousness, an alien righteousness. Of course, we know that's what Jesus Christ does. He comes in and takes the sin that belongs to me and puts it on Himself. And it is a foreign righteousness, a foreign gift from outside myself. Imagine, you know, if I was getting behind in my mortgage, and I didn't pay my mortgage for a month or for 2 months or for 6 months, for a year, and after a certain amount of time, finally the bank would come to me and they'd say, look, you're behind on your mortgage and we're going to foreclose on your house. And they'd take me into the courtroom and I'd say, you know, you're right, I can't pay my mortgage, I'm behind by so much, and the judge is just about to pronounce me guilty, he's going to give a forensic judgment against me. And then some benefactor walks in. Someone comes in and says, you know what, I know that he owes all that money, but I'm going to pay all his past debt. I'm going to cover all that he owes, a year or two worth of mortgage. I'm going to just write a check and take care of all of it. So the judge can declare me not guilty. Someone else, an alien righteousness, a foreign righteousness, came in and paid the debt for me. That's what Christ does. He comes and brings all of his righteousness, all of his perfection. He says, all those past sins I cover for you. A foreign, alien righteousness given to us. And beyond that, imagine back in the courtroom again, the benefactor comes in. He says, I'll pay all of his past debt. And then he says to the banker or to the judge, and what's the future debt on this property? I'll pay that as well. And he pays not only the past mortgage, but he completes the mortgage for me. That's what Christ does too. Not only taking away all of our past sin, but now crediting all of his righteousness, all of his perfection to our future. So that God sees us as perfectly righteous, as if we'd never sinned, as if we'd always been obedient, never behind in our payments. That's the beauty of a foreign righteousness, a forensic declaration given freely by God. This is our justification. Not just a matter of me and Jesus, but God, through the blood of his Son, freely, without owing me anything, coming and declaring me to be that which I am not. He declares me not guilty when I am guilty. And he does so on the basis of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's justification. That's the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. This beautiful understanding of what God has done for us in Jesus. Next week we'll talk in more detail about how this affects our lives. But this morning we at least in passing take note that this appreciation for the truth has to make a difference for us. In our lives it gives specificity to our thanksgiving and our devotion to God. If we have a vague notion of what God has done for us, you know, God did something through Jesus. If we have a vague notion of what God has done for us, we will have vague obedience, vague response of gratitude. God did something, I'll do something. But when we can appreciate the beauty, the intricacy of what God has done, a free, forensic, foreign justification, it increases our devotion. It would be like if I went to an art museum. Now, I am not an artist at all in any way. You can ask my kids. I am not an artist. You know the old phrase, I don't know much about art, but I know what I like. That's me, okay? I can go to an art museum. I look. I say, nice, like that one. Don't like that one. Nice, I like that one. Don't like that one. I have a very general idea. I think it's a horse, looks like a horse. I like the horse, okay? That's me. But if I took Josh Winnie with me, he's an artist, and Josh would say, you know, Reverend Niemeyer, look at the use of color in this picture, and look at how the artist over here contrasts the shadows and the light, and he would have a whole deeper appreciation. He would be able to enter into the work of the artist so much greater than I can. Like it, don't like it, that's me. But an artist says, look at the intricacy of what is being done here. That's why we have to know the beauties of justification. That we might enter in a deeper way to our thanksgiving to God. A specific knowledge of what he has done. This was free. This was out me earning it. I could not have earned it. That motivates my thanksgiving. It increases my thanksgiving. That this is a declaration of God that I am not guilty, contrary to fact. That moves me in my life. At least it should. Moves me toward a greater appreciation, a greater obedience, a greater thankfulness. Justification affects everything that we do. Why are we called to be good spouses? Because we've been justified by God. Why are we called to be good workers? Because we've been justified by God. The greater appreciation increases our thankful response to God. And so, like I said, we'll talk more about that next week as we move on to living by faith and living out that faith in our lives. But a knowledge of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus must move us to a deeper devotion, a deeper appreciation. Why spend time learning words like forensic and foreign alien righteousness? Because it motivates us to a greater love and devotion to the God who has saved us. This is the doctrine of justification. This is the truth of the Word of God laid before us. This beautiful picture, this justification comes to all who believe, to all who by faith embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. Do you believe this glorious truth? And is it working itself out in your life? Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank you for the beautiful truths of the faith, for the glories of the doctrines contained in Scripture. May we never tire of hearing about the intricacy of what you have done for us. Thank you for the gift of justification, that we are justified freely by your grace, that you declare us to be that which we are not, and you do so based on the foreign righteousness given to us through Jesus Christ. Lord God, today strengthen us by this message from your word, that our increased knowledge might also increase our devotion and our desire and our motivation to live in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.